I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast Postseason Episode 45. It's Hobart and Susquehanna, Saturday at 12 noon on the road in Pennsylvania, joined as always by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Before we talk about the final game, the Centennial Cup game over the U of Rochester, first off, congratulations on the awards, starting with you and your staff for Liberty League Staff of the Year. And I know you like to share the credit around, and we don't probably talk enough about those guys, but this staff, starting with you, has done a great job with this team.
Well, thank you, and it is. It's a team award. It's a staff award. This goes back long before as we assembled. We had a couple new coaches join our staff this year and some guys who have been here for a long time. But any good head coach understands it's all about the assistants, and it takes a village. We have 9 coaches on our staff. You know, I think of, you know, the defensive staff, Coach Green, you know, coordinating the defense, doing a phenomenal job there, obviously, of what our defense has been able to do this year. Coach Schaefer doing a fantastic job, both with linebackers, co-special teams coordinator, new to the staff, and just bringing I'm not sure if a coach prepares any more diligently than Coach Schaefer and what he's been able to bring to the defense. Coach Lease at the defensive line doing a fantastic job there. And that's a position where, you know, we've talked about those guys being able to step up. We lost Bill Brosco early in the season and next man up and really did good things there. And then Jared Leake helping out in the defensive back. So those 4 coaches on defense have done a fantastic job. And then on the offensive side of the ball, starting with the offensive line, Coach Murphy, you know, doing a really good job. The line of scrimmage has been a much improved area for us this year, which is obviously seen as the season's gone on and the O-line play there. Coach Craig with the running backs, obviously EJ having a big production throughout. He's playing really, really well, and Coach Craig doing a good job preparing the running backs. You got Coach Williams with the wide receivers, you know, a position that was definitely in question early in the season, and you look at how the younger receivers have developed throughout, so great job by Coach Williams. And then Coach McDonough, both tight ends, and then co-special teams coordinator, and, you know, the special teams with both, like I said, Coach McDonough and Coach Schaefer. So as a staff, I love those guys. They invest so much. There's so much, so many hours, you know, that away from football that people don't see, that our guys are, our coaches are working with our guys with academics, mentoring, you know, from everything from physical health, mental health, to their overall well-being here as student athletes, and then obviously the preparation from a football standpoint. So without a doubt, that staff of the year is truly, it's a team award based on how well the team did, but it's a huge credit to the assistants and then all the support staff and everyone else that's helped our team get to where we are right now.
2 things I've always really admired about you and your staff and Coach Craig before. Number one is, you trust your guys. You see a lot of programs that don't go very deep, and so when somebody graduates, the player behind him is an unknown quantity. You get guys in right from the get-go in crucial situations. When someone leaves here, you look at the guy behind him and say, I know that guy. He can play.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. That goes to how we start to in the recruiting process. We try to recruit guys who we believe can come in and challenge the 2-deep. Or there's going to be guys who we think with development. And I think that's what our staff, both our support staff and our immediate staff do. If we've identified the right guys, I think we invest more than a lot of other places. And typically you'll see that growth. And that's huge. You know, there's a handful of guys that could be with us right now that, either moved on or graduated or were different things. And, you're like you said, the next guy's up, and they've actually been as productive, if not more productive. So as we look at when eventually this season comes to an end, and hopefully it's going to be a long ride still, but we're going to flip the script and start looking at, there's some younger guys who right now on our roster, you might not have seen a lot, but we see good things. And all of a sudden, can they now perform and get ready for their next opportunity, whether, you know, that's in the winter and spring and then to next fall.
The second thing is that you tailor your schemes to the personnel. You see some coaches, especially offensively, they have a scheme they want to run, and that's what they run. But we've seen at Hobart over the years, several years ago, we had a couple of great fullbacks, and the fullbacks were featured in the offense. When you've got great tight ends, you feature tight ends. When you have great runners, you run the ball. When you have Shane Sweeney, you pass the ball. I like that you scheme according to what your personnel is and what they can do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think for us, we try to think people first, play second. You know, and you're right, schematically, I can draw up a lot of good things on a dry erase board, but if it doesn't match our personnel, we'd be foolish to think it's going to be as successful on the field. So we constantly are doing that. We look at how do we get our best guys on the field in different capacities between the 3 phases. And ultimately, I think the defensive staff, the offensive staff, we sit each week and figure out, like, without reinventing the wheel, what do we do well? How do we attack the next opponent and try to match the schemes accordingly?
You always wonder when you have a great season if you're going to get enough guys on the all-league team, but you really made out well. Let's talk about these awards. E.J. Taylor, Jamin Bliss, Toby Weffering, Johnny Harding, offensive player, defensive player, special teams, and rookie of the year. That's a pretty good start.
Yeah, I think and there's been some years in the past where maybe we finished second in the conference and third, and I think the tiebreaker goes to the team that wins it. And I think this year, I think we earned the respect of a lot of our peers and our fellow teams just because of how we played. It wasn't always just roll out the footballs and we were going to be better than you. I think we found ways to win. And there was other very, I thought the level of competition in our conference was always strong, to think about, on the side of the ball, Jamin Bliss. We had a couple guys on our defense that it's like, how do you nominate just one on our defense? But Jamin stood out for his consistency and just the fire. And I think other teams in our conference really respected what our defense was able to do. Finishing up number one in the country in scoring defense says a lot. I think John Harding is a rookie. I mean, he made an impact from day one on, and he's doing some really neat things. He owns the record now for catches by a first-year receiver in our offense, in an offense where he's not just the featured guy. We have a couple guys that are really good, but he's been a huge production from that position. Toby, we were splitting hairs between Toby and Vicente, both equally deserving of it. I think Toby, with his production, both as a senior and with the field goals, we leaned that way, and he was the special teams player of the year and came up big, especially in conference play. And then E.J. Taylor, I mean, you think about the finish he had. He was the only back in our conference to go over 1,000 yards, which that's the team award. I mean, our offensive line, tight ends, the quarterbacks, receivers, they're all fired up for him on getting that. That's an individual accolade, but that speaks volumes for all the guys that are a part of that in the run game. His last three games were some of his best games, in terms of leaning on him a little bit more. And so that was very deserving as well. So to sweep the major awards, and again, I applaud all of our guys. That's individual efforts, but it's all team accomplishments.
Other honors went to Ahmad Crowell, Ethan Kowalski, second-time first-teamer on the offensive line, Ashton Mejias, Anthony Romano, Zeeshan Dixon, Vicente Lyon, Tristan Reynolds, Dante Randall, Mike McGee at linebacker, Alex Smith, Quinn Brogy was honorable mention, as well as Vincent Giordano and Cashin Young, and of course, Johnny Colombi, first-team quarterback. I mean, he's really progressed. We've talked about it a lot. When he first came here, he was a guy who could run, had a strong arm, occasionally made mistakes, but he's become a polished quarterback and a guy that can lead a team to a playoff spot.
Yeah, and that's the key. Like, he's given us a great chance to win games, and I think that's the number one quality for a quarterback. There's some games where he's thrown for, 250, close to 300 yards. There's other games where, he's been able to, hand the ball off to EJ and check the run based on how teams were playing us. There's no doubt the value for him is not in the stats. He's obviously statistically, I think he was up there for the most touchdowns and highest efficiency. And those are the things I look at is touchdown interception ratio was in our favor significantly. The amount of checks, audibles, decision making that he makes on every single play that the average person wouldn't understand is why he's so valuable to our offense. He is a no ego, what's best for the team decision maker. It doesn't matter if I've thrown it to someone five times in a row, and if that's where it needs to go, I'm going to go there again. Or if it's someone that has not played and that's where the ball needs to go, he's going to make the decisions that are best for the team and the offense. And then sometimes that's at the fault of sometimes his stats, and I love it that he'd rather check to a run and get a successful play than try to force it if that's what the defense is giving him. So without a doubt, his preparation, his fire, his competitiveness, his value is so much more than just his stats, and he's our second leading rusher. Deceptively, he's able to do some good things there. So I think we're in a league where there was a handful of quarterbacks that had some stats that maybe threw the ball a little bit more. His efficiency and obviously being a winner, a quarterback that wins. That's the thing I look at. I've been fortunate to coach a lot of quarterbacks here. The best ones are winners, and they care less about stats. Obviously, the stats help win games. But he's a winner, and that's the best thing I can describe about Johnny.
But when you look at numbers, I mean, around 58% completions in your passing game where you're throwing the ball downfield and taking a lot of long shots, that's a good number.
Yeah, and I think you look back on it, there's a couple times, especially early in the season, where we were just off a little bit on the chemistry with some of the younger receivers. Some of those were throwaways, but on protections, that's where I say, like, the stats to me, like, so there's some quarterbacks that won't throw the ball away because it hurts their completion percentage. he'd rather throw it away than to lose 5 yards on a sack. Or there's sometimes where there was a breakdown in protections or something missed, and instead of forcing the coverage, maybe a throwaway there. And again, I think of opportunities where we've had some balls that were dropped and all that. Never once does you see him complaining about a receiver dropping it or making a wrong read or a wrong route. So again, I think his selflessness and just team first mindset really trickles down to hopefully the other guys. And that's what I like. If you look at it offensively, for some of the guys that were all conference, there's a handful of those guys that are going to be coming back next year. So just continue to build off of what we've been doing, recruiting and developing. Obviously we've had a couple seniors that are going to be really tough to replace, but when the time is right, we'll look and recalibrate and see what we have offensively. But I think the young quarterbacks in the room are really learning from Johnny, and that's the best compliment too, is that quarterback room is stronger than it's ever been.
Let's talk about the progress of the team from game one now to the postseason. I mean, first game, you beat Alfred 10-7, a team you normally handle pretty easily, and people are, what's our offense going to be? And you've just dug down and said, okay, get better every week. As you always say, control the controllables.
Absolutely, Ted. You took it words right out of my mouth. That's what we did. We were not, especially on the offense side of the ball, we were not strong initially, in the sense of we had some injuries to some key guys coming out of preseason, and we had so many young guys playing that in 2.5 weeks of preseason, trying to get them ready, we just weren't in the situation we needed to. If you look at it, we had, we missed a play on fourth down. We had a fumbled snap, just different things that kind of held us from scoring. Our defense was still strong, but in that game, if you remember, obviously with the lightning delays and all that, that was a 7-0 game going late in the game. We got a field goal eventually to make it 7-3, and then scored with 2 minutes left to take the lead. So, scoring 10 late, like, that was the fight and resolve that, like, defined this team. I think we saw it early on. That game and a lot of other games could have been different early on, but they stayed the course. And I would have even said, even last year, there was times where I'm not sure all three sides of the ball trusted one another. They said they did, but when push comes to shove, they wanted someone else to go make the play versus that side. And there was times where the defense needed to buckle down and make a stop. There was times where special teams needed to come through with big plays. There was times when the offense needed to pick up the defense. And I think that's where we truly did evolve throughout this regular season. And it's why, like, when we talk about preparation for this upcoming playoff game, like, we're still evolving. We're still trying to get to the point. We haven't played a complete game yet. And as a coach, that's where I shoot for and I aspire for. I know it's tough. I'm never talking about playing a perfect game, but a complete game is what it's going to take. And we're much closer to that now than we were at the beginning of the season.
I've seen some good defenses here at Hobart over my years. We were talking about guys like Devin Worthington and Tyree Coleman when he was here. This defense, at least statistically, stopping points, which is what you're out there for, is the best. Why is that? What have these guys been able to accomplish this year that's made them so good?
Yeah, I think it's a compliment to the leadership group that's out there. I think there was times where I think defenses, sometimes they can be really great statistically, but they don't prevent the 7 points. This group understood you have to go every single inch and truly cross that goal line before we're going to, give you concede the points. And I think defensively, our coaching staff have done well putting them in the right positions. I think every single position group, I think everyone looked at our linebacker group and said that was going to be strong, and they've proven to be. Unfortunately, when there's been some injuries, that's when that group's kind of, we've slowed down a little bit. So we're trying to keep everyone together with duct tape and keeping everyone as fresh as possible right now as we get into the postseason. But I think the defensive line, we've had guys that have stepped up there. I think we've had guys step up in the defensive backfield. And when we needed plays, typically it's the linebacker position that's found a way to get a key stop or a key pressure. And all that, we need 11 strong. Like, there's some guys in the defensive line that need to understand they might not be getting the stats, but that's going to be the key component to stopping a run that prevents them from scoring in the score zone. The DBs have had to come up with some man or some zone coverages, and it's been a whole unit. Now, I also think some teams, and this is a compliment to how we play, I think some offensive coaches have been a little drastic in the sense of they've been worried about getting 7, that sometimes they didn't take the 3. So I think that's a compliment to the team as a whole, saying, like, teams didn't think that they were going to score a lot against us. Sometimes they got a little greedy, saying they were going for the 7, and our defense showed that they could do that in certain games. So obviously it's changes from opponent to opponent, and this week's opponent is a high-scoring team, so it's going to be different. But no doubt, for us to continue winning games in the postseason, we're going to need to find ways to get some stops, whether that's takeaways or fourth downs, get off the field, and then let's get the offense back on. And that's what this unit took pride on. And we saw it all winter and spring and preseason going against them. We knew our defense was going to be strong, and I think that was what helped our offense kind of know where we were going to be, because if we were having success against our defense, we knew that it was going to be one of the better defenses we were going to face.
I've talked about you trusting your guys. Your defensive line, you had two guys go elsewhere. Brosco goes down earlier with an injury. You've got guys that you wouldn't have expected to see the field very much playing a regular role, just that revolving group of seven or eight or more guys in there just stuffing it up front.
Yeah, and they've I think Billy was grabbing some attention right away. He was highly impactful in those first two games prior to the injury. And obviously missing him in the middle of that defense has been a loss for us. And other guys have stepped up. I mean, and I think that's where we have some guys that might not have the flash, but their consistency, their toughness, their grittiness has been huge. And they'll be tested again this week. And we'll see. At the end of the day, the line of scrimmage is going to be a huge factor for both sides. But our defensive line, and I know that they're hurting. They're banged up. We have not been able to go as deep there as we would have wanted to, partly because of, what you said, the injuries and just a couple guys who we were planning on being here that weren't. But I tell you what, there's some younger guys in that mix that if they continue the course, that's going to end up being a really strong position group for us as we continue to, again, go back to development. There's a lot. Strength and conditioning isn't a flip a switch. It takes time. It takes commitment in terms of how you eat and sleep and take care of your bodies and whatnot. And I think we have some young guys in the mix that hopefully see the importance of that, because that's a position group. If we're going to continue to take the steps to be a top 10 program, the line of scrimmages on both sides of the ball are where we're going to make the biggest jumps.
You won the U of R Centennial Cup game 37-7. Came out, stopped them quickly, three and out. They were very banged up, obviously. Didn't have a lot of offensive weapons. And then you get an immediate touchdown pass. It's great when you look up and see Johnny Harding 20 yards in the clear.
Yeah, they had some injuries, as we all do at that point. And I think that there were some guys that they put in some positions. And our defense capitalized on that. We were able to be aggressive and really suffocate both the run and pass early in that game. I thought it was really crucial to, same thing, flip it around, and our offense scored on our second play. They had a new corner out there that was trying to be aggressive. I think he was a little too aggressive, and Johnny got him over the top, and Johnny Colombi saw him. So I think it was a good start, and I also think there were some things in that game that, obviously we were able to run the ball with EJ. I think we were able to spread around a little bit with some of our receivers and tight ends. And ultimately, the score was the score, but I think it was a good sounding way. We talked about it coming off of when you knew we were already in the playoffs, we already knew we were going to win the conference. To make it really clear, to be undefeated league champs is really much bigger deal than just sharing the title. And I give a guy's credit because we still had guys that were out with injury as well. At this point in the season, no one's 100%. So we had guys playing at a lower percentage, but they gave us everything they had. That was a really focused week of preparation, and they wanted to make sure, regardless of what was going to happen in terms of the postseason and the matchups and the brackets that were going to come out, that we wanted to win at home. And whether that was going to be our last home game or not, to go out in style. And again, there's not many times as good as we've had some really successful teams over the years. There's not many teams that have been undefeated league champs. There's not many teams that have won nine games in the regular season. It's taken postseason wins and stuff to get there. So to be 9-1 with how we started, and again, there was a lot of people had a lot of doubts. I think we were predicted fourth in our conference. Minus the people in the room, the coaches and the players, I'm sure there was outside fans and families that were kind of questioning who we were going to be. The leadership group, the resolve, the way that this team competes, because we're not the most talented Hobart team that I've been able to coach yet, but I love the way we compete, especially our key guys that are the ringleaders of it. They'll compete against anybody, anywhere. And if we've been healthy, I even look back and we've learned a lot from that second game against Randolph-Macon, a game that we easily could have and should have won. But we learned a lot from that, and that's kind of fired where we are right now. And honestly, that game is going to help us prepare for what we're going to see in the postseason.
So did somebody tell you late in the game where E.J. Taylor was, that he could get 1,000?
He was on the cusp of it. In my mind, I kind of had a number in my head, and then fortunately we did have someone that kind of alerted the coaches up above. Without making it an individual thing, I think that was a huge accomplishment. So, that was as much for the offensive line and the tight ends. That was a goal they wanted. And it was obviously not trying to run it up or anything else. It was just in the flow, still against their starting defense. We put him in, and he was able to go over the 1,000. And it's a big accomplishment to think about the consistency to have 1,000 yards in an offense where he's, you know, he's our featured guy for sure, but is also a situation where we're not just trying to get him yardage. There's a lot of games where he was out early when we were in hand and whatnot, but that's a huge accomplishment. And again, as a sophomore, I think his future is trending in the right direction.
It was senior day. I saw this one coming because I saw Mark Bentley warming up before the game with the number twos, and I said, I think if coach gets the right slot, he's going to put him in. You put him in, he throws an absolutely beautiful pass that was broken up at the very last second, but a memory. You got to get on the field and make a play. Tell us about Mark Bentley.
Yeah, like every senior that's healthy and is obviously earned that opportunity. Senior day is about them. Some guys, it's, you know, like a kid like Johnny Columbia we've talked about, and Ethan Kowalski, and some of our seniors on defense that start and play every single play. It's about them, but it's also about guys that might have been Mark's last time to suit up. And I have respect for every young man. We hold our guys to really high standards here. That if people actually saw what our guys do, from 6 a.m. workouts to the study halls to the film sessions to the amount of hours they put in to be great student athletes. And then, and here's the other part, got to be great students here. And this is a challenging course academically, and our guys are, you know, doing internships, doing some really amazing things to be a winning program and take pride in doing things the right way. Now, to me, Mark earned that opportunity. And again, Mark is a strong arm. He's a really good quarterback. Just hadn't had the opportunity based on where some of our other quarterbacks have played. He's lower on the depth chart. But my respect for him, I coach our number five the same way I coach number one. And I wanted him. He was going to have that opportunity and just wanted to get it. Part of it was the timing of the game. Part of it was the flow of the wind. And it was a route that he and I talked. This is a route he really liked, and I wanted to give him something that was where we could protect it, and our guys did. And, you know, the defensive back made a nice play on it. But, again, I want him to understand that that was my appreciation for the work he's put in.
One of my favorite things each week is when you tweet out the scout team players of the week, some of the guys that you don't hear their names much, if ever, on the broadcast, but they're playing their role quietly behind the scenes.
Yeah, to me, that, I mean, there's a lot of guys that go into it, but there's certain guys that really embrace it. Frankly, that's where we are in the season. There are some young guys who maybe are not maximizing their opportunities as well, but the ones that do are typically, like you said earlier in this podcast, they're the ones who you'll see next year. They're the ones who are going to earn an opportunity and be that guy on special teams, be that guy on offense or defense. So we're always watching film. We're always evaluating, whether that's on a scout or whatever, who's preparing the team to the best of their ability. And certain guys really take pride in that. And honestly, we look at it. If you look at some of the scout guys that were earlier in the year, they became in the two deep by the middle of the end of the year. And there's certain guys here at the end of the year that are going to maximize it. And they're the ones that are going to jump into the winter and spring workouts and typically make a larger role for themselves than those who've maybe not maximized their opportunities.
Susquehanna this Saturday at 12 noon. We have been there not too long ago. They were briefly a Liberty League team. You look at them offensively, they have a running back with over 1,100 yards, 8 yards a carry. They average 6-something as a team. They throw the ball accurately. They throw the ball deep. Can you be as aggressive defensively against somebody like that, or do you have to be a little less so?
It's a little bit of both. The thing that Susquehanna does very well, obviously offensively, they're putting up points. They have not been stopped in any of the games they faced. They jump on their opponents. And that's all three phases. But offensively, they're really aggressive. So I think there was only one game they didn't have a 2-possession lead by the second quarter. And that's pretty impressive. And so offensively, it starts with their line of scrimmage. I think they're big, they're strong, they're experienced at the line of scrimmage. They have multiple backs, but their rookie running back is very similar to like an EJ Taylor, where the first guy doesn't always usually bring him down. He's athletic enough to make you miss with speed, strong enough to make you run through arm tackles or run through you. They have a really dynamic receiver and really just an efficient quarterback. So this is a tough offense to defend. And again, I don't think you can just sit back. I don't think you can just bring pressure. I think our defense is going to have to mix it up and be opportunistic in terms of when to get key stops. we're going to need to tackle really well in space against their receivers, against their running backs, their tight ends. They're going to do everything they can to get it in their playmakers' hands as much as possible. And then the quarterback is able to make things happen with his feet. So like some of the other quarterbacks we faced this year, a mobile quarterback is another stressor on a defense, because even if you're in the right position with your coverage-wise, he can then insert himself. And so our defensive line and linebackers are going to have to do a really good job, not only stopping the run, but to be able to keep the quarterback at bay and keep him in the pocket. And then without a doubt, I don't think you can go all pressure. I don't think you can just sit back and just play all zone. I think we're going to have to do a really good job mixing it up. And at the end of the day, our defense has been pretty good. So like we're going to have to find ways to shut them down is going to be something no one else has done this year. I think what's more realistic is finding ways to get off the field and getting those key takeaways, tackling an open space. So instead of, you know, making it, you know, third and three, it's now third and seven, third and eight, which then forces them to have to think about, I mean, they haven't had to punt much this year. So, I mean, it's tough when you talk about like, they're going to be going for it on fourth down and different situations. And again, when an offense is rolling and they've been playing with a lead, that allows their defense to be super aggressive. And that's what they are on the other side of the ball, is they're an aggressive defense. So similar to us, we've tried to give our defense a lead. In those games, our defense can tee it off a little bit more. I think they've been able to do it on that side. Their offense is typically jumping on other teams.
We saw what RPI was able to do with the hurry-up. U of R really wasn't in a position to be able to do that. Do you expect to see some hurry-up or a lot of hurry-up from Susquehanna?
I think they can. I think the difference with the hurry-up was our personnel against RPI. We were pretty dinged up going into that game. A couple key guys on our defense were not able to play or play at the level that they normally do. And that was RPI coming off of a bye week, so similar to what Susquehanna is doing. So I think our defense can see it and can be prepared for it. I think the difference on a hurry-up is if they're successful, the hurry-up is when it's at its best. And we didn't do a great job winning the line of scrimmage against RPI. So if we can't stop the run against Susquehanna, that opens up everything they need to do. So as good as the receivers are, as good as the running back is, it all comes down to me, how are we going to do defensively at the point of attack? And not saying you got to stop every single run, but we just can't let them run at ease. There's some certain plays where early in the game, aggressive defenses, they're hitting a seam and then they're going 75, 80 yards. That's the type of athletes they have on offense. So this is going to be the best test of our defense so far. And you know that when you're playing the playoffs, you're going to play really good teams. There's not many weaknesses in terms of the offensive side of the ball for them. So that's going to be a really big task on, you know, our defense is not giving up a lot of points. Their offense is scoring a lot of points. It's probably somewhere in the middle, hopefully. To me, it's going to be key stops in the score zone, key stops on third and fourth down to decide, are they actually going to kick a field goal, are they going to punt, or are they going to go for it? Those type of decisions in a game with hopefully two pretty strong teams, I think will play out pretty importantly on Saturday.
It's not very often you get two off weeks in a span of 4 weeks. How have you handled that? You get, of course, people get healthier, which is great, but how do you keep your sharpness as a team?
Well, we attacked it differently. For the RPI week, we truly deloaded. There was a lot of downtime. I mean, we were really banged up. I mean, line of scrimmage, running backs, tight ends. I mean, O-line to D-line, the linebackers. Everyone was feeling it, even the skill guys. So we kind of used the RPI bye week to just throttle down. We took a lot of look at our twos and threes you talked about earlier, evaluating the younger guys. This is the year we've never done more evaluation of our two, threes, and fours in the middle of the season. So for younger guys who don't see the opportunity that it's right there in front of them, they're missing out on it because there's a ton of eval that's going on even in the flow of practices. Then when we came back, we really then attacked the Rochester prep week, and that's why I said I thought we were focused, had a really solid game plan. Attacking this one, it's different, and it's an opponent we haven't seen in a while. So once we finally got film exchange, it took a while to get the film exchange, but once we finally got film exchange for these guys, you looked at them, and a lot of it just matching up personnel. Now when you get to the NCAA playoffs, it's a 58-man roster, so it's a roster limit. So like that's where sometimes you don't see the twos and threes as much. It's more everyone's going to have to ride their ones and twos. So we still, although we were able to get about four or five guys coming back from soft tissue injuries or ankles and knees and some different things coming off of the first bye week, this week it's been a similar situation where it's like who's healthy that can go play against Susquehanna. Because honestly, personnel starts everything. We go back to personnel first, then figure out schematically what we can do. And then you throw in the wrinkle right now of it's Thanksgiving. So we're trying to be respectful for those. We're having Thanksgiving together here as a family for those that are making the 58-man roster. A handful of guys are choosing, once they're not on the 58-man roster, to go home, and I'm letting them make that decision. I think those that stay with the team are going to realize how special this is, and it's a really important thing that has been earned. But honestly, that's compromising practice a little bit. We're down numbers. We're not a huge roster. So at this point, who's healthy, who's able to go and help, that's what our focus has been on for this week. So there's a lot of prep going into this one, just knowing that we're playing a really strong opponent that doesn't have a weakness, many weaknesses in their three phases. And I just appreciate those guys that are here and are going to stay through the week ready to help us prepare for a Susquehanna.
Teams have been able to score on them on just under 20 points a game, but that's always a little deceptive. Number one, the Landmark Conference is a pretty high offense conference to begin with. Number two, they're ahead by a ton, so that plays into it. But what do they do schematically? What are they going to show us on defense?
On defense, they're multiple front, three-man front, four-man fronts, similar to like the last couple teams we faced with that bigger rush will end that's kind of like a D-end that's going to insert in there. The scoring is deceiving. Like, not many teams have had success on them in the first half. Only one team has actually been close to them at halftime. I think in the second half, sometimes as they're subbing up, that's where some teams are scoring their points. So that's where the points per game is a little deceiving, because they've had such big leads, and the second half scoring is when they've had their twos and threes, and which are still really good players, but that's where other offenses are having their most success. So we are going to see an aggressive front. They move well. There's good length, so they're able to tip passes and get hands in lanes. They have the defensive player of the year in their conference and an inside linebacker that's a 6'2", 240, big, thick linebacker that can run and rush. And then they play a lot of man, so they're not afraid to lock up and play man-to-man on the outside. They'll be as athletic as the defenses we faced in terms of their ability to move and pressure, similar like our front seven is a very aggressive attack you. We're going to make sure you're not comfortable type of front. And then they have the experience and athleticism on the perimeter to play a lot of different versions of man-to-man. And most of the time they're going to say, hey, we're better than you, and force you to go make some plays that way. So I think that'll be a good challenge for us is, it's one of those, you'll know we're playing well if we're having a chance to really secure the run game and protect the quarterback. And if we're not, that means they're compromising our line of scrimmage. And that's usually not a good sign in the playoff football. Usually late in November into December, it's usually the teams that can win the line of scrimmage or are going to position themselves in the best chance to win games.
Playoff football is very often special teams and field position. They have a good punter that they don't have to use very often. They have a kickoff man who kicks every third one through the end zone for a touchback. But I think you have the best combination of kicker and punter and kick coverage probably in the country.
We're going to need the specialists to be a huge part of this game. You're right. They went a very interesting stat. Against them, kickers are only 0 for 1 for field goals for 10 games, which is mind-boggling to me that through 10 games they've only had one field goal attempt and that no one's made a field goal against them. So
part of that's when you're down 31-0.
You got to go for it.
You're not
exactly
going for three anymore.
Yeah. So to me, I want to see early in the game, like, can we get in a situation where again, we have some really good specialists. I think we got to clear up some things in our coverage. We gave one away against Rochester because we had some new guys out there because of injuries, and that wasn't good on our end. But like, when we've been on, our specialists have been pretty special. And I think we got to give Vicente and Toby a chance to go be what they can be, I think. And hopefully they come up like they've been. They've been consistently solid for us all year long. I think there's going to be opportunities. Like, they're aggressive, so we're preparing for them to, show us new looks and or anything that comes out within 2 weeks of preparation. It's going to be an exciting matchup, but without a doubt, I think, defenses on both sides that are aggressive attacking and don't give up a lot of points against their starters, both offenses, and they're a really high scoring offense, but when we've been playing as of late, they're trying to really possess the ball. I think it's going to be special teams, a couple turnovers, takeaways. Like, that's the type of game that I envision it playing out. And then our guys are they've played some close games early in the season, not so much as of late. They've been rolling through their conference. We've played some close games, especially earlier in the season, some as of late. But two really good teams going at it. And again, playoff football, getting our guys indoctrinated into what it's going to take to win. That's half the battle, is going in playing physical and confident and what we need to do. And I remind the guys the other night, just saying like, yeah, we're preparing for a really good team. We also have to focus on what we've done to get here. Let's not lose our identity, who we are. You know, a zebra has stripes, you know, a cheetah has spots. We got to know who we are right now. We're not going to go change who we are. We still got to have opportunities to make plays, but we're going to go do what we do, and hopefully we can do it at a really high level.
I'm a broadcaster, but I'm also a fan, and I've loved watching this group. I mean, we've seen so many entertaining and great football teams here over the years. This team has a chance to join that list and maybe go to the top of it. Best of luck Saturday.
I appreciate all you're doing, Ted. Thank you.
All right. You can find this podcast wherever you get your podcast, be it Apple, Spotify, Google, you name it, and get all your athletics information at hwsathletics.com. And you got to win two here for me now, Coach, because I'm going to be in Vegas next week. So
we're going to do our best.
Get her through. Thanks. We appreciate it.
Thank you.